Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined, as always, by Mr. Luke Mathers. Luke, how you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing well, Will. Behind the board on the ones and twos, making sure that Aaron Zommers, our producer extraordinaire, is staying fresh for all of the production requirements of our team here at Civic Media on this Wednesday across the state of Wisconsin.
It's the realest Wednesday of the week, that I can guarantee. And it's a hot one out there, Luke. What you got in Madison right now?
I wish you would have asked me. I don't know. I don't have that up in front of me. I want to say it was 91.
A
real
feet. Check.
No, I did not know.
Couldn't
we were going
it?
There right away. It was 91 degrees the last I looked, but I think we're getting close to that breaking 100 heat index.
I got 94 right now in Milwaukee, too. As you can tell, I am in person today. I have crawled out of the bedroom studio. I have seen a little bit of sunlight. It feels like it's been the first time in weeks. But we're down here. We're excited to cover everything debate today. We're ready to go. Luke, are you excited?
Yeah, should be an excellent day. It's going to be, we've got excellent Civic Media coverage coming from the Deer District all day long. I want to thank, as goes Wisconsin, Kristen Bryan, Jane Matinere, and their entire team for kicking us off from the Whitetail down there in the Deer District from 10 to noon earlier this morning. We're glad to be at the helm now. Todd Alba going to be taking over at 1. The Devil's Advocates, how could I forget? Mr. Matt Flynn, direct, from 3 to 4, will be there on location as well. The Devil's Advocates changing things up a little bit. They're going to be down the street at the Roman Coin from 4 to 6, and then back to the Whitetail for extended pregame coverage, 6 to 8 p.m., with friends over at the Lincoln Project discussing all of what to expect for this evening's debate. It's the first debate of the 2024 cycle, kicking off what is going to be a long run. This is not a sprint, folks. This is a marathon. Get ready for it because it starts today here in Milwaukee.
I know we joke about it all the time, Luke, but my special election wasn't until July 18th. So I've only had like 3-4 weeks off now. We're right back in the swing of things. And I can't lie, I feel kind of naked without my Bernie Sanders Public Enemy poster behind me. I mean, that's been a staple of my appearances since the beginning. It feels almost wrong to not have it here with me.
Well, that's on you, man. You should have prepared and brought it with you.
Put it on a little poster board and just stick it right behind me or something.
That's on you, man.
Fair. Good point. So, Luke, my question for you and for the people of Wisconsin today is, what do you want to hear from the candidates? Obviously, as you noted, this is the launch of the 2024 presidential cycle. It's going to be a marathon. This is not a sprint. And it's going to be brutal. If we thought 2020 was bad, if we thought the millions and millions, what was it, $56 million that went into the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race in April was bad, this is going to be a different animal. I think this is something that we have never seen before, and we'll likely start to see every 4 years as politics gets more and more divisive. But do you have any expectations for tonight, Luke? I'd like to hear your thoughts. Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Well, my expectation was going to be that there were 8 candidates on the stage tonight, but maybe there's only going to be 7. Did you hear this story already? Or have you been sleeping in, Will, like you tend to do, and not up with the news of the day like myself?
This is breaking to me then, Luke. I'm glad you finally did your homework, but please.
Finally did
elaborate.
My homework? Okay,
there's
sir.
A first time for everything.
Who's leading in the most Wisconsin headline? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I'll just leave that one where it lies.
You're one game above 500, my guy.
I'm
Simmer
two,
down.
Buddy. I'm two. Just because you want to steal doesn't mean it's going to be actually honored by the scoreboard. But the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum had to receive emergency room treatment last night after a pickup game of basketball, and questionable as of the last I saw in the story, questionable of whether or not Governor Burgum is going to be able to participate in this evening's debate now. So that's something to keep an eye on. Expectations were that it was going to be 8 candidates. It may get down to 7. So we'll have to see if there's what number of podiums there's going to be on the debate stage this evening from the Pfizer Forum.
Yeah, that is news to me, Luke, and I'm glad you let me know that he's still at least questionable so I can change my fantasy lineup, because I took the risk on him tonight. I thought that might be a good play.
How would you even evaluate fantasy points for a debate like that, sir?
Dude, you can gamble on everything in the modern world. I'm sure there's someone.
And Doug Burgum was your choice for winning?
This.
North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum was your choice?
They give me great odds on him. Are you kidding me?
All right. I think you might have a problem, man. We may have to get you a helpline for Gamblers Anonymous then, if that's what you're telling me.
No, it's just fantasy football. I got too much on fantasy football. My mind's stuck in the mud. It's almost football season.
But what are your expectations, Will? What are you thinking you're going to see on tonight's debate stage? What would you like to hear from the candidates?
Well, obviously, the elephant in the room, or should I say not in the room, would be Donald Trump not appearing. That was what I really wanted to see. I thought it would have been absolutely hilarious. The first, his first line is, likely to be some kind of shot on Ron DeSantis if he would go with the sanctimonious, what terminology he would use to, you know, try to drop him immediately. I personally think it would have been hilarious to watch Ron kind of crumble the first time Trump challenged him, because, you know, his campaign's been kind of crumbling, and I would expect to see the debate go very similarly. Without Donald Trump here, though, I have no idea. I really have no idea what to expect. I think it's very, very interesting that Vivek Ramaswamy was given the second podium spot.
Vivek, apparently.
Vivek.
It's been updated now. I've heard it several times now, but I believe it's Vivek. It apparently rhymes with lake or fake.
Lake or fake Vivek. All right, I'll have to keep that in mind. And that's interesting that you chose the word fake.
Other people had given me that example. That was just the one that was also floated by, I believe, the pro DeSantis super PAC, saying that you need to come up with a name like Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, likes to do for his opponents. The pro DeSantis super PAC said, call him Vivek the Fake, apparently. Some of the research that was dropped, you know, they are not allowed to coordinate technically, but it seems like, all things considered, they're coordinating pretty hard just online.
It's a different kind of organizing, Luke. It's the modern world. Get used to it.
Okay, Will. Okay.
Well, and should we run down the podium stage positions real quick just to make sure all the listeners are on the same wavelength as us? So obviously DeSantis will be in slot
one.
You're
catching me up to speed. I don't even know where these individuals are on the podium side.
Well, I'm more than happy to fill you in, good sir. Mike Pence will be in the 3-hole. Nikki Haley 4, Chris Christie 5, Tim Scott 6, Asa Hutchinson 7, and then if he were to appear, Doug Burgum 8. That goes alternating from the middle. So think of it kind of like...
So it's not like swimmer's lanes where 1 and 8 you run through, but the good ones are in 4 and 5. This is 1 and 2 are in the middle, but you alternate back and forth.
It's just changing where you position the 1 or 2, I guess. Yes, 1 and 2 are still in the middle. The best or most popular candidates are still right in the middle, as if track was going to be the one I used, but swimming is equally valid. So that's our lineup for tonight. It's interesting that a former vice president of the United States couldn't manage one of the top two, and instead it went to a podcast, bro. But hey, you know, got to do what you got to do.
That's where the national polling is right now for primary voters in the Republican Party. If you've got thoughts, if you want to share what you would like to hear from the candidates on the debate stage in Milwaukee from the Pfizer Forum this evening, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. You can take the entire network with you on the go if you like. You can download the Civic Media app wherever apps are downloaded, and you can engage and interact with the show right from the power of your pocket. On your smart device, you can call or text on the programs. You can listen to all the excellent stations and share with us what you think. 844-967-2789. Really easy to do so from the Civic Media app. We are discussing what we believe is going to be said from the candidates on the debate stage this evening. We're also going to be joined on a Wednesday, as we are one to be joined by, the recombobulation area himself, Dan Schaefer, at 12:30. So looking to get Dan's take as well. But if you'd like to share your thoughts with us between now and then, 844-967-2789. And Will, it will be interesting. Do you think these candidates, because none of them are leading, the front runner, former President Donald Trump not going to be in attendance.
He's going to be doing a bit of an understatement too. Look, if you're looking at polling data.
Well, again, I shared this with Todd Alba on his show yesterday for our Tuesday Tangents with Todd. But it feels like there may be some. The newest Iowa Des Moines Register poll shows Trump with a 42% of support. And so it seems like some of these polls that are coming out with 50, 60, 70% may be softer than what we are actually getting from those polls. It will be interesting to see. But 42% means 58% not supporting the former president in his own Republican Party in Iowa. Now, Iowa does tend to set the tone for a lot of these presidential campaigns, but it's also not the best indicator of who has gone on to receive the Republican nomination when the winner, I believe the last three or four cycles for the Republican nomination has not gone on to be the Republican nominee. And so Iowa sets the tone. It is a lot of national narrative around the entire election, but it doesn't necessarily give us the best insight on who the Republican Party will ultimately select to lead their ticket.
And that 42%, Luke, that'd be the lowest that I've seen anywhere. I have the RCP average up right now, and it's got Trump at 55.4. DeSantis down to 14.3, Ramaswamy 7.2.
We saw
4,
in 2022,
Haley,
Will, we saw that these national polls start to get flooded with some questionable polling terminology, though. Like, there is, it's not necessary. All polls are not created equally. And so I tend to like the Iowa Des Moines Register poll. It's kind of the gold standard for presidential primaries this far out, and so it will be interesting. It's the one indicator that maybe the former president doesn't have such a stronghold on his party, but it's to be determined still. We're going to have to wait and see. But how the other candidates react to the fact that the front runner is not there, any attacks that they're going to try to throw at him, they're just going to be kind of lobbed at an empty podium, and I don't know if that's going to be Doug Burgum's empty podium, or if that's just the fact that, you know, they'd set up an empty one for the former president that is not going to be in attendance tonight.
Yeah, and speaking of polling data, Luke, I don't know if you saw this, but this is my my homework of the week. Did you see that Perry Johnson and Larry Elder announced yesterday that they are suing the RNC for not allowing them on stage at the upcoming primary debate?
I did not see that.
Elder
what
said that he met all requirements, but the RNC said that Rasmussen was not considered a legitimate poll, according to Larry Elder.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting to see because, I mean, I feel like Rasmussen is pretty acceptable poll. So maybe they just like the even number 8, and now that the Governor Burgum might not be able to be there, maybe they'll just swap Elder
give
in and
call.
Be like,
hey,
and
fly in quick.
Just like, come on. Just swap in. Nobody's going to notice, right? Who would notice? Folks, you're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you want to share your thoughts with us here, 844-967-2789. We are going to be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area coming up next. But stay tuned to your Civic Media station.
A fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the Recombobulation Area.
Welcome, one. Welcome, all. Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Luke, that intro never gets old. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, Todd and the production team did an excellent job. And so Todd, Aaron, everybody that contributed, and Bobby Portis, shout out to him for the excellent
shout out to Bobby Portis.
Excellent,
really,
comments,
yeah.
From Bobby Portis. And yeah, it's Wednesday at 12:30, and that can mean only one thing. We are joined now by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, how are we doing on this hot Wednesday from Milwaukee?
Good afternoon, fellas. I am outside in the streets of downtown Milwaukee, and I am sweating. It is.
I am so sorry to hear that, Dan.
And humid out here. Yeah.
Yeah, it is definitely not necessarily the best day to be out and about, especially there is a heat advisory in place until tomorrow, Thursday evening. So if you do have to spend time outdoors, make sure you're drinking lots of water. Dan, hopefully you're drinking lots of water, but do everything you can to stay safe out there, folks. Dan, you are covering all things going on around the debate today, including a presser that was held by the Democratic National Committee earlier this afternoon, just taking place a few minutes ago, in fact. What can you share with us from that event that you were covering?
Yeah, I actually ducked out a little early of it to talk to you guys. So that's how important it is that I you know, talk to you folks here on town call. But yeah, it was a press conference with the mayor of Madison, Ben Wickler, the chair of the party, and then Jimmy Harrison, the chair of the DNC. And, you know, they were really talking about how these candidates are really kind of tripping over themselves to, you know, play to the extreme MAGA crowd. You know, we heard that MAGA extremism line many times from the speakers there, really talking about, you know, some of the more extreme positions that many of these candidates have, in particular highlighting their stance on abortion, and the possibility of a nationwide abortion ban under whoever the Republican, you know, if there were a Republican president to win the next election. So really putting that issue at the forefront of the press conference. Also talking about issues relating to democracy, economic issues as well. So really trying to paint that contrast between the Biden-Harris campaign and the field of candidates that is now here in Milwaukee, just hours away from that debate.
Really? Yes, I mean, it's we, how many hours left? It's 12:30, so yeah, we got about
just under 8 hours left to go.
Just under 8 hours left to go. Feels like it's going to be an eternity, especially in this heat. I am kind of grateful actually for the GOP to bring the Seventh Circle of Hell to Milwaukee for a weekend. We're able to enjoy this
weekend.
A little bit.
It's the middle of the week. It's a Wednesday.
It's the realest Wednesday, but every day's a weekend, Luke, depending on how you look at it. So it's really exciting, though. I mean, we've talked about this in the past, Dan, that Wisconsin will be at the epicenter of the American electoral system for the next, at least tonight, but will be a heavy focus of the 2024 race as well. You noted the contrasts that the DNC made at their press conference. What do you expect to see tonight? What are you looking forward to the most with your press pass? You know, you'll be in there. Congratulations. I'm excited for you. I wish I could be joining you there. What are your expectations for tonight?
Yeah, I'll be there. But there is obviously one particularly notable candidate who will not be there, of course. And I wrote about that in a piece today at the Recombobulation Area. I wrote about my five things that I'll be watching with this debate tonight. Obviously, the first of those is the elephant not in the room. The Donald Trump, his absence at the debate, you know, it makes it, this is a weird debate because of it. You know, he's not the overwhelming front runner is not going to be there. As I talk to you right now, a group of Trump supporters in Make America Great Again hats just walked right by me on 3rd Street in Milwaukee. But so his presence is definitely felt in downtown Milwaukee right now. Even though the candidate himself is not there. So I think one of the things that's going to be really interesting to watch at the debate is how these candidates talk about Trump, considering his absence. You know, there hasn't been that much criticism from a lot of the field towards Donald Trump in this campaign, you know, despite all of the legal issues and the fact that he is the front runner, and typically you have a dynamic where, you know, if somebody is the front runner, that's the person that they're going to criticize to try to elevate themselves within the polls. That we haven't seen that all that much. A little bit here from Chris Christie or Asa Hutchinson, maybe a little bit from Mike Pence, but not so much from the rest of the field. So will, you know, folks like Tim Scott or Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley, will they really take Trump on in his absence at this debate? I think that is certainly going to be a big factor to watch. And then, you know, obviously, being a Milwaukee resident and a Milwaukee champion of this city myself, I'm of course going to be watching for how these candidates talk about Milwaukee. You know, Republicans don't always have the nicest things to say about our city, that's putting it mildly. And so will the candidates go up on stage and trash the city? I think that's what people are hoping will not happen. You know, the people like Cavalier Johnson, a lot of the business community in Milwaukee that are supportive of the RNC being here. You know, now that we've got to this point, we're just, I think there's a lot of people hoping that they treat the city kindly on stage. And I think, you know, that is going to be certainly a factor to watch tonight as well.
Yeah, and notably, as you've pointed out, Dan, that already some of Trump's supporters there on the ground in Milwaukee, even though he will not be at the debate either, it seems like Fox News is going to be playing clips of Trump at the debate. So he's still going to be part of this evening's programming, even though he's not in attendance. And so I don't exactly quite understand how that's going to work, if they're just going to play Trump's former comments and then ask for reaction from the other candidates. I don't quite understand that. Have you heard anything about that? And what are your thoughts about them trying to invoke Trump's presence without him being in attendance?
Yeah, I suppose they have to get creative, right? I mean, he's not going to be there to answer for himself. So at least using his own words is one way to kind of get at that. And that's a pretty interesting way to do it, I suppose. You know, there's going to be, he's going to have his own counter programming as well, with an interview with Tucker Carlson. You know, so you cannot escape the spectacle of Trump. He's got a number of kind of surrogates, I guess, here in Milwaukee as well. I know Marjorie Taylor Greene was doing some interviews. Carrie Lake was around. I saw Matt Gaetz walking around downtown Milwaukee yesterday. So there, his presence is certainly felt throughout this debate. And I think that that is really the biggest factor in this is, you know, and I think another thing, too, the Trump campaign put out a website today calling this the vice presidential debate and asking their supporters to vote on who the vice president would be. And I think, you know, there is a shred of truth to that. Right. So I think, you know, a number of these candidates who are running for president, but also want to stay in the mix to be that vice presidential pick. You know, maybe people like Tim Scott or Nikki Haley. Are they going to, you know, hold back some of that criticism of Trump to try and stay in the mix for that vice presidential selection? That's going to be, you know, an interesting aspect to watch. Because I don't think it's going to be Mike Pence again. Do you?
I don't think Mike Pence wants that job again.
If I'm Mike Pence, I want nothing to do with that job either. No.
Right, right. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how these candidates find that balance. And so I one of the other things that I wrote in my piece with the Recombobulation Era today was it was candidates to watch who are not, you know, who are not Donald Trump. Who are the candidates to watch who might break through in this debate stage? You know, I'm keeping an eye on Tim Scott as somebody who might be interesting to watch. He pulled in third in the Iowa poll. So that the Iowa poll can sometimes be indicative of, you know, support across the Midwest. And it was Donald Trump in far away in first place. You have Ron DeSantis, you know, who has been on the decline, but still in second in many of these polls. And Tim Scott was in third. So I'm interested to see kind of what Tim Scott might have to say. His message seems to at least, you know, be resonating a little bit more than some of the other candidates within the Midwest. Are we going to see some of that reflected on the debate stage and some of the, maybe some of the Wisconsin pandering?
Well, and Dan, what do you think about, as long as we're talking about candidates that aren't there, I mentioned to Luke before the break, Larry Elder will not be on stage, and neither will Perry Johnson, and they plan to actually sue the RNC for not allowing them on the stage at the upcoming debate. According to the Elder campaign, the reason, as stated by the RNC, is that the Rasmussen polls have ties to former President Donald Trump. So, Luke, I was incorrect when I originally stated that they didn't consider it a legitimate poll. It's that they considered it
tainted.
Perhaps biased,
yeah,
or tainted,
little.
Yes. An individual who is not even participating in the upcoming debate, Elder's campaign said in a statement, noting that Larry Elder has no knowledge about whether Donald Trump has ever worked with Rasmussen previously. They're accusing the RNC of essentially, you know, they have preconceived ideas of who they wanted on stage, and they're going out of their way to bend the rules to set the stage accordingly. I was not aware that Fox News would be playing these Donald Trump clips to make sure that he was just as involved as well. That's,
I don't know if it's just as involved or not,
comparison.
Will, but I've heard that there will be clips of Donald Trump at the debate tonight, in a part of the questioning by the moderators. But I think we may have lost Dan. I don't know if he is traveling through Milwaukee right now covering all of the events. So we were speaking with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation area. Dan, do we still have you?
Can you hear me now?
We can. We can still hear you.
Gotcha.
I was worried if you were on one of those like bird scooters or Lyft scooters, and we lost you while you took a spill off of one of them.
I think my Bluetooth cut out on you. So I'm back with you, though. We're all right.
Perfect. So your thoughts on the fact that there are some candidates not making the stage this evening that are going to be suing the RNC, it sounds like. Larry Elder and Will, who was the other candidate?
Perry Johnson.
Yeah, hard to believe a Republican would disagree with the results of something, right? I mean,
there's first time for everything, Dan.
If you don't like the results, they're going to sue and try to overturn things and throw a fit. It has come to be the norm for the Republican Party in the 2020s, right? They're just going to never accept the results. And, you know, that's something to consider with the larger campaign as well. Like, you know, there's something I wrote about with in a column a couple of weeks ago at the Recombobulation area about how nobody's talking about the fact that even if Donald Trump legitimately loses in this primary, he's not ever going to concede. So I think, you know, this is just how things work now for Republicans. It's just never going to accept the results of things.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens with the RNC conducting future debates then, if they take that criticism to heart or if it continues to be something they do to keep candidates on the stage. I think anything more than eight candidates, I think that was roughly the threshold in 16 and 20 when there were so many viable candidates.
Well, they had two nights of primary
right.
debates.
Right, and so they had to split it up. Anything more than eight, they wanted to have multiple debates. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation area, we know that you're a very busy man on this Wednesday afternoon. Dan, where can listeners listening to us here on Town Call find out more about your work and support what you're doing at the Recombobulation area?
Yeah, you can find me at recombobulationarea.substack.com. Become a free subscriber, become a paid subscriber. Come check out our content covering the Republican debate. I'm going to be credentialed covering the debate tonight. It's going to be a long day for us. We're pretty excited about what's to come for our coverage. So stay tuned.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday.
Stay hydrated, Dan.
Yes, stay cool, stay hydrated. And we look forward to all of the reporting that you're able to do from on the ground there in Milwaukee, Dan.
All right, thanks so much.
Take it easy. We'll talk to you soon. Folks, if you've got thoughts, what you want to hear from the candidates this evening, or expectations for what's going to take place on the debate stage in Milwaukee, share them with us here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. You can contribute through the phone lines, the text lines. You can also follow us. We've got an excellent new get up here on Town Call. We've joined the rest of some of the civic media programming on StreamYard, Will. It's looking good. You can follow us on the socials, Town Call WI. We're going to continue the conversation and hear your reactions when we return, 844-967-2789.
Technology. Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I am down in location in Milwaukee. We are talking the GOP debate. And Luke, something that we haven't had the chance to cover yet that I think is definitely potentially noteworthy would be, I saw a quote from Liz, I believe it's Meyer. He has, referring, of course, to Ron DeSantis, saying that this strikes me as very make-or-break for DeSantis. He has no real room for error. We talked earlier about some of the changing polling number, particularly around Iowa, where Trump's numbers are a little lower than they have been on national polls. But I wanted to note that, remember, DeSantis's polling has essentially fallen off a cliff. He's gone from the 20 to 25 percentile range now to being in the mid-teens. this debate tonight is really make or break for his campaign. Is there any other individual that you think either needs to have a stunning overperformance tonight or potentially risks dropping out if they don't do anything or underperform?
I think we're still pretty early. The biggest difference right now here in 2023/2024 cycle compared to the 15-16 cycle is there are fewer candidates than there were last go around. There is only these eight. There's not enough for two debates. In 16 at this the 16
there's
election
10,
cycle.
But two of them didn't qualify.
Yeah, hey, well, actually, and there's 11.
Like, I think six or seven didn't qualify.
Well, I was going to say, there's the 11th that, you know, is also just not showing. The front runner not showing. So you got to count him as well. But there's fewer, there's not such a crowded field. I want to say there were like 20 or 24, and they had so many people qualify in 15 and 16 for these early debates that if you didn't make one of those two debate stages, then I think, or at least make a splash on one of those two debate stages, that's when you saw candidates start falling out because they were on the quote unquote JV debate. If it wasn't the one where the serious candidates were, those not my words, the way that it was talked about back in 15
and 16.
It was portrayed
that way. Yeah.
That's the way it was portrayed. That's why you saw very like darlings of the Republican Party, former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, lasted, I want to say, just over 70 days in his presidential bid in 2015, and it was because he wasn't...
That's like six Scaramucci's right there.
I don't remember what the divisible factor of Scaramucci's are, but...
I believe it was 11 days equals one.
Sure. I don't do math on the radio, and I'm not familiar with that unit of measurement, but I know that it's a joke, but outside of that, I'm not familiar with the specifics. But it will be interesting to see. I don't know if this is necessarily as make or break for everyone. I think you are pretty accurate when it comes to saying Ron DeSantis has probably the most to lose today, but also I don't know if he has all that much to gain. Because a lot of the narrative this week is still going to be surrounding the former president. The expectations are that Donald Trump is going to have to go to Fulton County before Friday as well. So as soon as this wraps up, the focus tomorrow and Friday, I don't believe, is going to be the reactions from tonight's debate stage. I think it will make a splash in this evening's media cycle. But tomorrow, if Trump turns himself in Fulton County, the entire national attention is going to be turned to that. So I don't know if this is the make or break debate. I think it's important because it's going to set the tone for how we start the 2024 cycle here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is right now the center of the political universe. It's going to continue to be until the RNC National Convention is held at the same building this debate's being held at tonight. About 11 months from now, when the RNC, when the Republican National Party crowns whoever is going to be its nominee. And so we're going to see, again, this marathon, not a sprint. And I think it's going to be interesting to see. I just don't know if it's going to be a make or break right out of the gate.
Well, who do you think then? Do you think potentially the target is on DeSantis's back, that other candidates may be going after him? Do you think they're more likely to go after the, you know, metaphorical empty podium where Donald Trump would have been? I have no idea. I genuinely have no idea what to expect tonight. I like your use of the term splash because that makes me think of March Madness. Do we kind of need to implement some kind of March Madness-style debate where, you know, road to the Final Four, you just debate each other 1v1?
You got to talk to Todd. The road to the nomination starts today. Wisconsin Decides 2024. That's what we're doing at Civic Media from the Deer District all day long. So it's absolutely something that our state is going to play an integral role in. I just don't know if the stakes are as high as some people are pumping them up to be this evening. That's all, Will.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. That's fair. It will still be interesting to follow just because you know, American politics in particular, there's a real tribal vibe to it, a real almost like sports teams, you know, yay, 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 my team type deal. So when you get the first game of the year, very much like we've been joking about fantasy football, how excited we are for the Green Bay Packers season to start. This is the launch of the 24 cycle. Us political junkies will be watching very closely, whether we want to admit it or not. I'm sure there will be millions of other Americans that are following along tonight. And I'm just... I'm a little weary. I'm a little burnt out from all of this politics, but it is what it is. We got to do what we got
to
do.
We want to know what you think, what you'd like to hear from the candidates on the debate stage this evening in Milwaukee. Share your thoughts with us here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We got on the lines CJ down at Stoughton calling in. CJ, what are you hoping to hear from the candidates, seven or eight of them, that will be on the stage this evening?
The facts about this failed president, Biden, and do-nothing VP Harris.
More jobs created than any other administration ever before?
During a COVID, big deal.
Doing better than on inflation.
Lately.
What's that?
You know, you guys deflect so well. You want to hear why? Because of the
Actually, CJ, I was going to ask
you guys deflect.
Why were you deflecting? What do you look for tonight's debate?
People are facing. Tim Scott is going to be amazing. He's going to be a great president.
So CJ, you believe in the narrative? CJ, you believe in the narrative that everybody on the stage tonight is fighting for second place?
Yes, and any one of them would be a great VP. Or president compared to this one, you know, and when is the Democrats' first debate? You got a couple of candidates running against this failed president, who's almost got us in a nuclear war.
Didn't Donald Trump want to nuke the hurricanes, CJ? I believe Donald Trump's war for nuclear weapons was against hurricanes. That was his suggestion there. I don't know. I believe Harlan Crow as well, the Republican mega donor for Clarence Thomas, is who's been supporting a lot of RFK Jr.'s campaign. So I don't know if you can necessarily qualify all of that dark money that's going to RFK as a Democratic support, but we'll see. That's going to be something we'll keep an eye on as well.
I do support the open debate.
I believe
actually,
debate should be there.
It is a sitting president, this is a little bit different.
That is an excellent point, Will. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. We appreciate CJ and Dan Schaefer for joining us on today. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Stay tuned. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.